Fierce Femme Media.
So in part three, we are going to pick up where we left off on the conversation about racism in the workplace and what we can do to be more anti-racist and Mindy's thoughts and feelings on that. And then we move on to trying to convince Mindy that it's okay to get vaccinated. And then we finally finish out with what we are obsessed with. So thanks for hanging in there with us. And we hope you guys enjoy part three.
This is something that Mindy and I talked about before this that I knew we were all going to disagree on. And again, I think it's people's personal experiences and people that they know. And, you know, maybe we need to read these books and educate ourselves better, which I am not against. Like, right. I'm on board with that. But in my, like, TikTok algorithms for me are on point. Oof. And there's also a lot of people of African-American descent that say that they are not oppressed and that it's okay. I know that this is a very sensitive topic, and I know that this is going to be a thing. I'm not saying that that hasn't happened, that that doesn't happen still. I think now, for me personally, my personal belief, and from what I've seen, it happens a lot less, thank God, because that shouldn't fucking matter. However, I also think there's a lot of things in place. African Americans get grants and get things for college, and they should. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't.
Everybody should.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't get these opportunities.
Right, because all lives matter. I'm a bitch. I can't. Just
all. No.
Because we're not all starting.
But could you fucking imagine?
I know, I shouldn't have said that.
But so your kid, you're okay with your kid not getting a grant and letting a Black kid get it because they're Black.
If it's something that's put in place specifically for kids that are African-American because we don't all start on a level playing field, and my kid has more of an advantage.
Stacey, 100%.
I
think that's wrong.
I know people. I'm not going to use first and last names, but I know people that literally got better grades than other people that got into nursing school, and they did not get in because they did not have
right. But Julie, remember back to all the redlining. That's the stuff that you setting kids up for failure, and so then you can't just say. These things were put into place to acknowledge the fact that we're not starting on a level playing field.
But did these people also not get in because they didn't believe in vaccines? I'm just saying.
To where people who are not a different,
no, it was
a like, different ethnicity.
It was like 7 years ago. I had friends that were in nursing school and they didn't get into nursing school because people that had an African-American descent or Spanish descent or whatever got in before them with worse grades just because they were people of color.
Correct. Because if they didn't do that, there's
but
not
work hard and do get your good grades and do what you can.
Right. But if
it doesn't matter because you're not Black.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. My husband is trying to get a job, and because he's a middle-aged white man, he can't get it. I was told when I applied for my job, if my name had been a Hispanic descent, I would have gone on faster. I think that's bullshit.
Bullshit. If someone told him that, super illegal.
That's
a
But that's what's happening.
But the people that were going to hire him told him that?
It's not directly, but the organization, the people that work in it are like, and they've told me this to my face. Hey, if you had a Hispanic last name, you'd be hired like that. I got hired because I'm a woman. I think that's crap. Like we should look at the playing field. If this person, I don't care what color your skin is, because you don't put that on your resume. You shouldn't.
Right. But you're Black, people still profile better based education. On
Like in my job, I've hired people never once can I say that I've looked at their ethnicity.
That's awesome that you are a paragon of implicit bias. That's awesome. I wish everybody,
but you're assuming what everybody else does. Like
not necessarily
there's facts. I'm not assuming these things.
No, give me the facts. Show me where somebody has,
I mean, Jackie's better at that than I am, but what I'm saying is, you're asking, how do we stop doing that? All of these things that were put into motion to keep people oppressed, we have to change all of that. And then at that place, when we're all really starting from a level playing field, you don't need those things anymore.
So Stacey, let me.
You stop voting for people that are white.
No, Stacey, let me. So we vote Democrat. So, that's it. That's
no,
your
Stacey,
answer.
So Stacey, let me ask you.
No, there's people like there are. And I really mean this like, that aren't white supremacists.
No, I really mean this like genuinely, and it's kind of the same question as Mindy.
Yeah,
like, what people like me and Mindy, who see it. Don't necessarily agree with it, but you know, acknowledge that it could be an issue. And I agree. I haven't read the books. I haven't done that research, and that's bad on me. So what can people like me or Mindy or people that more importantly, hiring people for these big corporations and what can we do? To fix that.
So as someone who's a head of a department, I'll tell you what we can do.
Yeah. Okay. Like what can we do?
Sure. Number one, I know what Mindy's saying about like the workforce. You're essentially explaining streamlined diversity. Like workforces now are facing racial reckoning because we have promoted, and I'm not talking about Matt. This goes way, way back. We have promoted mediocre white men for far too long with subpar skills. Because they get a free pass. So one of the ways that you make sure that the right people are being hired is you have diversity on your hiring committee, women, people of color, men, all of those things to ensure that you're actually going after the right person. Because what you're explaining right now is companies that are trying to avoid the appearance of racism. Yes. That's what they're trying to do. Instead of actively changing their policies and procedures of their hiring practices to make sure, listen, how much does it piss you off, Mindy? And I know we can agree on this. When you see a room full of 45 men making laws over women's bodies.
100%.
Okay. It's infuriating. It's fucking infuriating. So one of the ways you could avoid that is by doing what? Taking out some of the men and adding people that have different color skin, have a different gender, identify as a different gender, what maybe they're gender fluid, I don't know, but you diversify your hiring practices or your workforce in order to ensure that you're getting the best possible person. Now, what you're explaining is these corporations, it's unfortunate that this generation, our generation, has to deal with so much grappling from the past. We are answering for so many mistakes that we didn't have any decision them. We didn't make the rules. We didn't set up the systems. We had zero participation in it, but we have to now make the change. And if there isn't a more diverse hiring up here, then you're not going to get the best people for the job. Now, I don't know if your husband wasn't hired that because he was a white guy, or if those people that told him have some implicit bias also. I don't know that. And I don't know if the people that we're looking to hire were looking for something that maybe diversified their workforce in order for the workforce to be able to see different things. Maybe they just got sued for sexual harassment and they're looking for females. I don't know. I know that there's a lot of companies right now that are hiring far more females than they have in the past because men are being fired, thrown in jail, and sued and costing corporations millions because they can't keep their fucking hands to themselves. So does that mean that if you were to get promoted, you're not just as qualified. You just haven't been given the same opportunity to prove that you can do the job. And once you diversify.
I got promoted because it was a female. I have no like Julie walked away, but that's why I got promoted.
Honey, that is internalized misogyny.
No, they joked that I was a token female.
They joked.
You know what? I did a fucking bang-up job because I knew what I was doing.
You are capable just as much as any of those fucking dudes in there.
I was more capable. And that's why I left, because I knew that I was, like, I sat down at their table and I said, I'm the smartest person in this room and I no longer want to be here.
That is why you got promoted. The reason that you were held back was because you were a female.
It's
misogyny.
But when I left, no one said goodbye. No one. Not one person has told me goodbye.
Honey, and what does that tell you about them?
That they don't need me. Well, so my
No.
You know what it tells you is that you need to be a fucking Democrat.
That they're sexist.
I do have a question though. So say I go up against someone, mm-hmm. I'm a white female, and I have the same experience as someone who's black female. They pick the black female. Do you think that's fair? Because just because
it she's depends black, on what they're looking for. I hire for a multitude of reasons. We have
the same experience.
But what was the job they were hiring for? Because a lot of
it's about fit. Like
they probably liked her more. I'm saying.
You know what? If you could tell me that.
Probably hey. Nicer. She probably okay, got a lot
of she didn't have a chip on her shoulder. She didn't have this chip on her shoulder.
I interview people all the time, and it's about fit. They have the same qualifications, right. The same years of experience. And I sometimes think people who are going to fit in better.
Not even just the fitting in, but sometimes depending on where it is and what the job is, you want your workforce to reflect the community. And so sometimes
I feel like we put so much effort on like, oh, we're diverse. It's like, okay, I get that. Like, I totally get everybody deserves a chance. Like 100%. If somebody who is a different ethnicity than me does better in the interview, we have the same qualification, but she's just more part of the team. Pick her, pick him, whatever. But why are we so apt to pick somebody with a different skin color or different background? It's like,
because that's important too, but that's important too.
But at what point do we lose
because when it comes to hiring, aptitude is not the only mechanism that you're using.
I get that, but it's like the people are so scared to hire white people anymore. It's
how do you know that though?
When do we get
defined? Where's the fact?
How do you know that?
No, you guys are right. I don't have facts about that.
No, you're
right.
I'm not upset about that.
There's not I see what Mindy's saying. There's not necessarily facts backing that up. There is statistics backing that up, that you have to have a certain percentage of diversity in your workforce. And like, a lot Walmart of people
throws it down your throat. Like I've been there 3 weeks and they have thrown it down my throat. Diversity.
Like, which is good.
It's good. But you know what? I don't care if my boss is black. It's
important.
I don't care.
Mindy, I sit on a diversity and inclusion committee. It's because it's important. It's important to your workforce. It's important to
the community. I have a question.
People who are white don't matter.
That's not what diversity is.
Mindy's a racist.
Can I ask a question? I have a question.
Mindy, real quick, can I just say something real quick, Bird?
Bird.
Making sure that other people are mattering as much as white people takes 100%. Nothing away from white people.
But when we start moving the table to where white people don't matter anymore,
to even it out.
Why does this even it out?
No, because wait.
I think everybody has the same idea, just it coming in different directions.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
But can I tell you why I don't think that's the case? Because what I'm taking from what you're saying, Mindy, is we're like this, right? You think that everybody has the same playing field. So then when we talk about diversity, inclusion a lot, and we talk about all these things, you feel like that's saying that they're more important than white people. What we're saying is it's like this, and we have to get everybody up to the same level of respect and inclusion. And so if we can't even agree that we're not on a level playing field, we're not going to have consensus on how to move forward.
Right.
Because trying to boost other people up takes nothing. We say this all the time. It's not pie. And that's what I was saying about the Black Lives Matter thing. When someone says Black Lives Matter, the appropriate response is 100% they do. Because what they're not saying is Black Lives Matter more than white people. What they're trying to say is Black Lives haven't mattered for a really fucking long time. And we should acknowledge that they do. And nothing about agreeing with that or saying, yeah, Black Lives Matter. And I'm just using that as an example. It can be about literally everything. None of that is to say that white lives don't. Because you know why? It's implied, because that's who's in power and that's who's been making all the laws. So the reason we have to do that, and we have to say diversity is so important, because one of the things that it's important to talk about is that diversity and inclusion doesn't just apply to race. It applies to gender. It applies to physical ability. It applies to cognitive ability. It means that everyone is what is represented and feels welcome and feels like they're a part of a community and a part of a business. And I can tell you right now, businesses hire people who are able-bodied more than they hire people that are disabled. they hire men more than they hire women. They hire people that are white more than they hire people of color. And that's just how it works. And so the more we can educate people about it, the better off our society is going to be, because maybe we can reach a place where we don't have to have special programs to help try and even things out a little bit.
I see that. I do. I can, and I think me personally, I need to educate myself more on the diversity that Black people face. I think I base a lot of it off on just the Black people that I know and not the Black people that are obviously oppressed. The Black people that I know and that I'm close with have had diversity and they've dealt with things and stuff. And I, you know, it pisses me off when they tell me the stories, like it's fucked up. But I think that it's, you know, for people like Mindy and like me or like anybody else out there listening, you know, it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow when you're like, well, if me and an African-American woman or man come in with the exact, you know, you exact same things, would they get hired first? Maybe Mindy would get hired first because she's white. You know, at what point do we have to get to where that literally doesn't fucking matter?
Like once we remove all the obstacles.
Right. So how do we get there? You know, where do we get to where that the color of your skin or what gender you are? Because me and Mindy both worked for law enforcement. We, and especially being in Arkansas, I absolutely faced sexuality, oppression and stuff like it was a whole thing when I was there. And, you know, being a female, we've both been through it. And people that are Black or Asian or Hispanic or whatever, you know, everybody faces these things. So how do we get to a point? And maybe that's where everybody needs to educate themselves more. Well, no, because you're fucking white and a male, does that give you anything? No. What if somebody comes in with the exact same qualifications because they're white and they're male, or because they're white and they're female, or because they're Black and female, you know, whatever. How do we get there?
Sometimes,
but it's not fair. To base someone off their race.
No, it's not fair.
It's not. And that's what I'm saying. Everybody's saying this. It's
not 1950 anymore. Like it's not.
Everybody, I think, is
saying. If it was 1950, you wouldn't work at all.
Everybody.
None of us would be working. Yeah. None of us would be on this podcast.
We'd be married to men.
Sometimes, Julie.
Somewhere.
Julie.
I think everybody's saying the same thing, but.
Nah.
With different. I mean, that's my take.
Can I say something, Julie, and kind of give you some advice? Sometimes what I've noticed has helped in some trainings I've been in is if you look at it not through the lens of race, because people obviously are a little sensitive about that. So one example I was given was look at it through the lens of someone in a wheelchair. Okay.
Okay.
Not every building is accessible to people in wheelchairs. So right off the bat, you're already at an uneven playing field. Do you know how much harder it is? And I don't have statistics right in front of me. I'm a little drunk, so I don't know.
From your one can. Okay, your one micro can. First of all,
it's a high alcohol content, Bird. Do you know how hard it is for someone in a wheelchair to get hired for any kind of job?
But stay
because you're, people you're, no, hold on.
You're asking so, it to not okay. look at a lens of race, but right. still look at can it in the lens about, of like, race.
No, like, I'm not quite done yet. Hold on one second.
Okay.
So when you look at it like that, right? So what they do is they put laws into place that you know we have ADA compliance laws. So now we're gonna bring all those buildings up to code so that people can get away around freely, so that we can move around. There's certain things that we just don't do. There are, you know, if you want to go out to the drive-in or go wherever, there's not closed captioning on the movies for people that have any sort of that's like true. Hearing impairment.
That's true.
There's not. So we already like these things are set into place for people who are able-bodied. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at it through that lens of inclusion and of diversity, and even how you talked about, you know, Kennedy's son facing disadvantages because he has, you know, because he has two moms or whatever that thing is. So what do we do? Well, in school, we teach about different family constructs. We teach that some people live with their aunts and some people have two moms and some people have two dads and some people just have a dad or just a mom. And so that's how we address those things. So how do we address it with race? We try and rebuild the programs that have been put into place to keep people down. We try and get rid of our whitewashed history so we can talk about the real facts. And sometimes it's a little bit easier to look at that from, you know, there's many protected classes. And so, if you kind of take a step back sometimes and you look at it through a different lens, if you're having a hard time with one, sometimes it kind, sometimes it's a little bit easier to see the, you know, forest through the trees.
I see that. I like the way you explain that, actually. That's a really good point.
I like it too, Bird.
The other thing I think we get trapped in is, and we've talked about this on here hundreds of times, and we're going to wrap this up because we've been on here almost 3 hours. And I'm pretty sure everyone's like splitting up their listening. This is going to span several days for people. But we also talk about zero sum. Like, it's not all one thing or the other. Making sure your workforce is diverse doesn't mean you don't hire any white people. Like, right. and it doesn't mean you hire only white people. We have become so programmed to be tribal and put on our team shirts and say, you're this and I'm that. So then anything I say is this and anything you say is that. It's not zero sum. 95% of our lives is lived in the gray. Okay. There are exceptions to rules. There are people who live outside the normal statistical averages. There's all kinds of people everywhere, and any one person's experience is not going to be the same as anyone else's. Someone who has only worked in sales is not going to have the same experience as someone who's only worked in law enforcement. Okay, because you have to have a different personality, you have to have a different kind, type, you're going to be selling things to different people. And you're also going to encounter a totally different set of people when you're only working in law enforcement than if you're working in the general public. And I'm just using that as an example, because it's sitting right in front of me.
No, I agree.
Yep, so totally true.
It's not zero sum always. There are some black people that are terrible, and there are some white people that are terrible. Polka dotted people that are terrible. I don't know who polka dotted people are, but maybe they're out there. I don't know.
They're terrible.
But I guess the point is, it's really, really, really easy to sit and say, I know they got hired because of this, when in reality, and I do that too. Listen, I've been turned down for jobs and I'm like, oh, I'm sure it was because, you know, they have 15 years experience over me. And I'm judging that based on what they looked like when I saw them waiting for the same interview that I was in. I don't know that for sure, because you know what? I can't see the resume. I wasn't in that interview. I don't know how they clicked with those people. I don't know what other experience they have. They could have been in the Peace Corps for 15 years and fucking cured smallpox in Antarctica. I don't know. I'm making assumptions based on 5 minutes I sat with them in a waiting room. Okay. Right. So all of the ideas we have of, well, they got this because of that, or so-and-so who works there told me that they don't know because they weren't in there. So we all do it. It is implicit bias, because I have implicit bias. I'll tell you what, as soon as I see, if I'm sitting there waiting for an interview and I see an old white guy walk in, I'm like, well, I'm fucked. I'm fucked, because I'm on the younger side for my job title, and I'm a female. And most people think females don't have any experience in half of my profession. So I make that immediate assumption of him when, in all honesty, I have no idea. I have none. So I think we would all benefit from being a little bit more humble with our interpretations of how everything works everywhere. We don't know. And maybe taking a minute to think, I don't know everything about everything. I don't know everything. I know a lot about a lot of things. I know a little bit about a lot of things.
You do know a lot about
it. You're the smartest person that I know. Listen,
don't put me in a fucking chemistry lab. I'd blow some shit up. I do not know. Does baking soda and soda go together? I don't know.
Smartest.
What actually happens with Pop Rocks and Coca-Cola? Got me? Like, I don't know.
It's
those
gonna
things.
Overflow, Jackie. I'll tell you right now. I've seen enough YouTube videos.
I'm just saying, I think to wrap this conversation up, if we made the assumption that most people were doing their best every fucking day,
yes,
and that most people aren't out to screw us, and that sometimes people are struggling more than maybe they admit to, because admitting weakness or that something bad has happened to them is too hard, and give people the benefit of the doubt. And help each other, because we're actually not the enemy here. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if Trump's president. It doesn't matter if Biden's president. It doesn't matter if Elizabeth Warren is president. They're out of office. We're the ones who are stuck together. Fact. So we're the ones who have to figure out how to live. And right. You know,
real quick, Trump fucked up our country.
But all the talking heads on those political programs, listen, Tucker Carlson, Ben Shapiro, they're all laughing to the back.
I love Ben Shapiro.
Okay. You know, oh what? They've God. All been ben vaccinated Shapiro. Too.
Who just said that?
No, it was that's me. Fine. I said it.
Listen, I love if you're vaccinated. I love it. If you're vaccinated, I love it. It should be a choice. That's it.
We don't.
I literally you know love what? It when you're not.
It should be a choice. That's it.
I actually don't disagree with you. Yeah. But if you're not going to be vaccinated, you should follow other rules. So
I'll wear the mask. I'll do it.
Just wear the
mask. I'll get the test. I
believe
in
medical freedom.
100%. That.
Yeah, I believe in medical freedom and that everyone, there's too many complicated medical things out there for me to make a decision for everyone.
Yes.
But then you got to follow through.
But if you're not here's making that decision like, if based you want on me your to come medical to your history, house, then.
Jax, if you want me to come to your house, you want me to wear a mask, you want me to get that, like, to get the COVID test, I'll do it for you because I love you.
You know
like,
I live in California, it. Right?
I want to come to California.
Well, like, you can only come if you're vaccinated. So good luck. Good luck.
That was a question I didn't get to ask about.
That's a whole other podcast.
No,
we can put it into if we need to ask. I mean, I'm curious.
To be completely honest, it's already at 3 hours. Let's make it 4.
Yeah, we can split. No, I'm curious what the question is.
So my question is like, so like I work for a company. I've got a religious exemption, but.
And I ask what that means.
So like,
I mean, I know what a religious exemption is, but how does like, that relate to a vaccination? Cause I don't understand
like,
that.
You know, the aborted fetal tissue, like God's going to spite me for it. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I don't want to get the vaccine because here's why.
Do you take Tylenol? Cause that comes from aborted fetal
tissue. I'm terrified.
So does Pepto-Bismol.
Like, I'm afraid that I'm going to die from getting the vaccine. So here, I told Julie this, I'm like, I want to come on here and I want you to convince me to get it. Like I'm not opposed to it.
All right.
Well, we've all gotten it.
Hold on.
I have a fourth arm, but it's fine.
It helps me itch my ass.
Hold on.
I'm not against it, but convince me that like I'm not gonna die when
I have a thought. I have a thoughtful thing to say to you. Okay. I'm not opposed to vaccinations. Any of those things, right? I do suffer from a lot of medical anxiety because I have a lot of people in my family that have histories of different things, and even though I don't have any allergies. Sometimes I freak out about stuff like that. If I get prescribed a new medication, I'm like, am I going to be allergic to this thing? It's scary. And so what I do with a lot of my anxiety about things is I look at, I have a therapist, we go through things and we look, okay, what is my fear?
Scientific research.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
So here's the thing, right? If your fear is you're going to die from this vaccination, right? Well, what evidence is there to support that? Like, has your primary care physician told you it's not safe for you to get this vaccine? Because your doctor would never let you get something that's not safe.
No, but this is going to sound stupid and I don't want you guys to make
No. Okay.
Never.
So like you have a side that's like, my lady doctor said you should get it. And I'm like, you know, but I've seen
she
research.
Looks up your vagina though. Like, wouldn't you trust her?
No, it's fine. It's fine down there. It's okay, we do fine.
Okay.
But you know,
my bad.
You see that like, so the COVID vaccine is different from a regular vaccine because it affects your mRNA, your spike protein. And we don't know the long-term effects of that. I'm waiting, I hope Jackie jumps in here.
So, well, I can too. So I think that the misconception with that is that mRNA vaccines are new they're not. We've been studying mRNA vaccines as treatments for lots of different things
like
for
20 years.
So my biggest fear is that like, I will get the vaccine and then in 6 to 12 months, I will have no immune system. That's my fear. So I told Julie before we came on here, I was like, I want them to convince me otherwise.
So,
right, so can I say
that makes sense?
Of course.
Just because I've looked at stuff on this a lot and because shut up, Aaron. I'm right there with you. It's like my biggest fear. That's why I have so much medical anxiety. Yes. It's a whole thing, right?
Yes.
So, but the way mRNA vaccines work is they don't affect your immunity as far as suppressing it for something else. All it does is send a message to your body on how to fight this thing. It's not a live virus. It's not in the 20 years of studying mRNA vaccines, it's never changed someone's DNA. It's never given someone a weakened immunity.
Or a microchip. There's, no microchip.
Yeah, no microchip. Your phone won't stick to your face, anything like that.
Fine.
So what you're really looking at are sensitivities and allergic reactions. And those are the things that you would experience with any other medication, right? Like my mom is allergic to injectable medications. It's not the actual medication. They're not sure because she's allergic to iodine, but not to shellfish. So something
it's like the vehicle.
It's the vehicle, the carrier vehicle fluid. And so not knowing whether or not she'd have a allergic reaction to that, because they do say if you're allergic to injectable medications, this might not be for you, but talk to your doctor. Well, my mom's got lung problems. And so her pulmonologist said, you are much more likely to survive going into anaphylactic shock and needing an EpiPen than if you got COVID. If you were to get COVID, you would not survive. Like, you just wouldn't. So she got vaccinated. She was labeled as a reactor. They watched her. She started to have an allergic reaction, super mild. Thank goodness. They didn't need an EpiPen. They treated her with Benadryl. Totally fine. Next vaccination, they gave her Benadryl. She went and got it. Totally fine. So when you're looking at stuff, it's really side effects and symptoms like you'd have for any other thing. So if you don't typically, so talking to a doctor or pharmacist is usually a good, which is what I did. And so if you don't typically have, you don't have allergies, you're not super sensitive. The worst thing mine did was made me feel kind of sick. You are putting something foreign into your body. Right. My arm hurt when I got a tetanus shot too. And that they put a needle in my muscle. That hurts. Right. And so I think what helps me in my anxiety is looking at like, what are the proven facts? And I'm not talking about like the crazy, like all these statistics and stuff. I can tell you almost every single person in my life is vaccinated. And I mean, my work life, my personal life, my family life, everyone I know on Facebook, like all of those people that are vaccinated, my mom is the only one who had any issues with it. And they knew she'd have issues from the get-go. Not one single person I know had anything more than they felt kind of crappy for a day.
Okay. So I have a question. Mm-hmm. So if I like, help me, because like I told Julie, like, cause I work for an organization that is exemptions, but if they didn't, I talked to my husband, I'm like, what would we do? And he's like, well, you would get it. I can literally cry because I'm terrified.
Okay.
I don't want to die.
How can I
cope with that?
Okay.
So also getting it done real quick. Sorry, Jackie, just cause I experience all those feelings too. I got mine done at my doctor's office. Like I was in right next to a hospital, and that's something that helps me feel safer. Like being surrounded by people, because I do, as soon, like I was like, yes, I'm going to get it. I'm so excited. I was in one of the first groups. And then as soon as they shot it in me, I was like, am I going to have an allergic reaction? Like what's going to happen? So being somewhere where I'm surrounded by medical professionals helps me feel way safer. So if I'm somewhere and they monitor you, it's a whole thing. So if it makes you feel safer to go to like a hospital or a medical practice to get it done than going to like a pharmacy, that might be something that would help.
Right.
Here's the other thing too. So mRNA vaccines are kind of a medical miracle, the way that they've done it, because it's the first time in history we've been able to give a vaccine without a live virus in it. And Stacey's right. We've been studying these for 20 years. It wasn't until COVID-19 popped up that we actually got the surge of funding needed to complete the actual research and development on it and make it widespread. So full disclosure, listen, I was in the Navy. They shot me up with anthrax. I have zero fucking like medical anxiety about anything. Like fucking put it in me, whatever. I don't.
That's what she said.
But
hey, yo.
What helped me was. You know,
but I've heard that from people in the military. They're like, they put everything
in me. They literally shot everything into me. It doesn't matter.
But Jackie, like, and I told Julie this. I'm like, I want to come on this podcast and I want them to convince me to get it. Because
so let me tell you what the little mRNA guy does. Okay. So think of the mRNA guy as an architect. Okay. He puts his plans under his arm and he's put into you through a lipid. Okay. A lipid is the same kind of thing as any of your fat cells. So they kind of insert them into you that way. He marches over to your your DNA, and he hands them the blueprint and says, this is what we're going to build. And all he's giving your body is the blueprints of how to protect you from this certain type of spike protein. Right. That is why it's not a sterilizing vaccine. It's not going to, if you're still carry a viral load, you could still actually get a cold from it or whatever, because it's going, what those blueprints are going to tell your body is, hey, if this shows up, we're going to do our best to kill it. But if we don't, we're going to keep it in the mucous membranes instead of letting it get into the bloodstream. Because if it gets into the bloodstream,
do our best to save your fucking life.
Well, if you get in the bloodstream, that's when people get those like long-term symptoms of like you've heard of long COVID, where people are having like pneumonia for months and months.
So if I've had COVID, what do you,
you're actually going to be a superhero. Because the new studies coming
out. Did I still get the vaccine?
Yes. Because the new studies that have come out recently show that people who have a mixture of natural antibodies from the virus and take the vaccine, which gives your body the blueprint of how to fight it, are the most rejective of carrying the virus itself. They're calling them the super carriers because you guys have, your body's going to know how to fight both. And they're actually using... They're actually using blood from you guys to develop new technologies to put this in pill form. Early next year, we're going to see a pill form that if people take it within the first 3 days of having COVID, it's going to completely annihilate the virus. And that is because of people like you, Mindy, who have had COVID and then got the vaccine.
So if I get the vaccine, will you go on a cruise with me?
I will never go on a fucking cruise again. That's, I hate cruises. Okay, so I cut out the last part because we continued to talk to Mindy about the COVID-19 vaccine and the pros and cons about it. But as we do, we drank more and we just continued to repeat ourselves over and over again. So you guys don't need to listen to that part. I won't put you through it. So I'm going to go ahead and jump to the what we're obsessed with, and then we will close out this three-part series. Hope everyone has a great weekend.
I've been obsessed with TikTok and what I can make in my crock pot.
Okay. Stacey, you guys, are you obsessed
with me? Oh my God. Like,
do you guys hate me? That's all I want to know.
No, I love Jesus you so much. Christ, I am now obsessed with
like,
you.
So like Stacey, I really want you to like, we need to talk. Like I want you to fix me. Like I really do.
Fix me. 100%.
Like, I really do.
Okay. Mindy's obsessed with Stacey. So
I'm obsessed with Stacey.
I'm obsessed with Stacey and Mindy talking. I'm just going
to
be.
I'm not like, I want to be. We need to talk. Like,
or don't be jealous.
Wait, listen. What,
did I'll you tell just you fucking what, tell us to come closer? Like,
come closer. I'll tell you what I'm saying. I'm obsessed with the morning show and them trying to redeem Mitch fucking Kessler.
That was mine. And they're not trying. They're trying to show the unsuccessful redemption of him.
Good.
If you guys aren't watching
watched this week's episode, don't ruin it.
Okay. If you guys aren't watching the morning show, literally, what are you doing with your life? But also, because Jennifer Aniston is so beautiful and wonderful and good on that show, I bought her new hair product.
I want to know how it goes.
I'll let you know.
Okay. Hey, everyone. Mindy, what are you obsessed with this week?
Oh.
What am I obsessed with? Mary Tyler Moore.
I love Mary Tyler Moore.
I love her so much. Fair enough.
I'm obsessed with getting off this podcast. Have a great weekend, everyone.
That is rude.
We love you, Jackie.
Make good choices. Have the best day available.
Don't be
to
a
you.
Dick.
Hey,
don't
where's your wife?
Have the day you deserve.
Get her so she have the day you deserve.
Have the day you deserve.
Bring her on.
Fierce Femme Media.